What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Dan Flores, whose new book, Wild New World, tells the epic story of animals and people in America. First contact from European diary keepers and chronologies that are important here, 16th, 17th century. And what I learn is that the Europeans were amazed, flabbergasted at the range of animals they had no comparable name for or had never experienced. This was the Eurasian people who came 13,000 years ago, but in those 13,000-year differences, there had been major changes in Europe and in North America for the biosphere that they're now entering. And at first, Dan, there are quotes, one young man named Wood, he's amazed, he's overwhelmed, he sees this as awe, with awe. Does that go away quickly, or does that remain into the 18th century, that awe of the scale of wildlife?
It remains through a great deal of American history, in part because Europeans bring with them a knowledge of the old world that goes back to the Greeks and Romans, and in some cases even farther. They have what's called a great chain of being that enumerates and illustrates all the creatures that you know as a European. But they have no conception that there are other grand continents across the oceans. And when they arrive in the Americas and begin confronting thousands of new birds, new mammals, new reptiles, new plants that they have no idea about, they are frankly flabbergasted. And they're flabbergasted in particular after the great dying, we call it, when old world diseases kill as many as 80-85% of native people in the Americas. And all of this preserved biology begins to undergo a kind of an ecological release. Europeans are simply stunned at the abundance of creatures that are available in the Americas. So it's a wholehearted kind of confronting the wonder of the Americas for the first time. And I go to some lengths to describe how naturalists in particular convey that diversity to us with their writings and their illustrations of it.
One of the subplots in Dan's book is the wolves. And I follow it carefully because I learn in this part of the story, 16th, 17th century, the old world, there's the second invasion of the Eurasians. They've known wolves for hundreds, thousands of years, but they're what Dan describes as a herding culture. So therefore, they put the premium value on their cattle, on their sheep, on their goats, and regard wolves as a threat. Without doing a scientific study, Dan, can't they put together a study in the 16th century and realize that wolves are part of the ecology? They were ignorant. Did they ask the Abenakis what to do with the wolf, or did they ignore native understandings?
I think they pretty much ignored native understanding. I mean, the agricultural revolution in the Americas had never produced, at least in North America, very many domesticated animals, certainly not animals that you herded. There were domesticated turkeys and so forth. But in the Americas, there are no domesticated herding animals. And so wolves, coyotes, and mountain lions, other predators, are free to remain apex animals that dictate the circumstances of ecologies dating back for millions of years. And Europeans, on the other hand, had undergone the Neolithic Revolution or the Agricultural Revolution as long ago as 7, 8, 9, 10,000 years. So they have been herding animals like sheep and goats and cattle for thousands and thousands of years. That meant that they regarded predators as arch enemies. In the Bible, animals like wolves had their origins on earth in Adam's fall from grace into a world that was no longer blessed by the deity. And thus, creatures like snakes and wolves emerge as part of a kind of a test for humans. So wolves, from the very beginning of the European arrival in North America, are thought of as creatures that we're just going to have to get rid of. I mean, the British hadn't had experiences with wolves since the 1400s. And when they arrive in the Americas and realize that there are very healthy wolf populations everywhere, their first instinct, the first environmental law old worlders pass in the Americas, is a bounty on killing wolves to try to eliminate what they call the common devourer.
You grew up in Louisiana, and you had a wonderful childhood surrounded by wildlife, but you had a pet chicken you called Chickie. And accidentally in play one day, Chickie died when you stepped on him. And you spoke to your mother, and your mother gave you a lesson in the thinking from the old world about the difference between us and animals. Can you tell it quickly, Dan?
That is my oldest memory. And probably the reason it is because it had an emotional content for me. I was only 4 years old when I stepped on my first little animal companion and killed my chicken. And as my mother and I buried this little chicken in the backyard, both of us sobbing, I turned to my mother, who was a good Southern Methodist and had absorbed the old world idea that had to do with the relationship between people and other animals. And I said, "So, Mom, I get to have Chickie in heaven, don't I?" And she looked at me and said, "Well, no, honey. You're made in the image of God. You have an everlasting soul, so you'll get to go to heaven. Animals, when they die, they just die. So, no, I'm afraid you're not going to get to see Chickie in heaven because that's not going to be Chickie's fate." That was, even at 4 years old, a very disturbing idea to me. And I have more than once come to believe that one of the reasons I ended up writing books about animals in my adulthood is because I was haunted by this story of American or of human exceptionalism compared to other animals.
I'm struck, Dan, in reading that story, and because it's a theme throughout your book, how the Europeans brought with them a philosophy that was discordant with the philosophy of the hunter-gatherer Europeans who'd been here for 10,000 years.
Yes, indeed.
A paradox that could not be easily resolved until the 20th century, or at least the beginning of the resolution of the 20th century. So we'll turn to the story so far, plus Henry David Thoreau, when we come back. This is the story of Wild New World, the epic story of animals and people in America. Professor Dan Flores is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.